Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow, wouldn't that be interesting? Good for Mike. I love Mike. I mean, I've admired Mike for 18 years. And that's really shocking that he did it that way. Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
Thank you. I right back at you. I've admired Steve Bisciotti for 18 years as well. And how I did it, I mean, what can I say? What I did was, if you don't know, it's probably pretty clear, but what you don't know is perhaps I took the recycling bin out to the road yesterday, even though where I live, it's very windy. And I basically stood there for 3 hours until the truck came. Because if I don't, everything just blows away. Like the bin goes down and everything's everywhere. Like all these, you know, paper towel holders. And
you're close to the river too, and that could pollute.
Just all the worse.
You don't want that.
All the worse. So I appreciate his appreciation. Okay. Steve Bisciotti, the owner of the Ravens, Mike Tomlin is actually, sorry, Mike Tomlin is who he's speaking of there. And both the Ravens and Steelers have made coaching changes. The two longest tenured coaches in the NFL are both out after almost 20 years. Tomlin is 19. Harbaugh, I think, is 18. And then next is Andy Reid, who had a pretty good run before taking on Kansas City when he was the Eagles coach. So he's got two long, like 10-plus year stints. And then McDermott. So at the moment, McDermott is the second longest tenured coach in the NFL.
Tied with McVay and somebody else. Is it Kyle Shanahan?
Maybe.
There's three guys that are the same. McDermott, McVay, and there's another
17?
Guy. And I think it's Kyle Shanahan.
Okay. 8 years in.
Yeah.
Not sure there's any particular aspect of the Bills' last decade that's more incredible than that they would have than they would have the second longest tenured coach in the NFL. Ever.
Right. That's quite a change.
I mean, Belichick existed in the league. Just McDermott was going to outlast all these guys, and he has. So pretty good. Tyrell Shavers, out for the year. Torn ACL. He joins Gabe Davis as having that injury from the Jacksonville game. And so one more man down at wide receiver.
Holy cow.
This is Black Swan again. Like they are so – the fates – are so enjoying this narrative with wide receiver that they're just like, okay, you don't have the right guy or guys. We're just going to take a couple of the guys you don't really care that much about away and then see what you can do.
Right.
So what is it right now? Cooks, Coleman, Shakir.
That's it. On the roster right now. They've opened the practice window for Samuel. So, I mean, I would think the pressure is going to be pretty high for him to clear whatever hurdles need to be cleared to demonstrate that he's capable of playing, because they need him now. They need him just to get four guys. Hardman's on the practice squad with Shavers and Davis, I would assume, headed to IR. Then you can move him so you don't have to worry about elevations and just put Hardman on the roster. I feel like he's the next guy up. They did sign a guy today to the practice squad. I had the name here, Wilkerson, at receiver.
Wilkerson.
Wilkerson, yes.
Sounds like a Madden name.
So, man, to go, you know, yeah. Nobody liked their receivers, you know, as far as a contending team goes, it's like an incredibly lacking receiver room. To lose two of those guys in a wild card game to the same injury is just torturous. This year has just been all-time brutal with injuries with them. And, you know, you think you get to the playoffs, like, okay, maybe, no. It's just bam, bam, bam. Really tough. I mean, I don't know what you would have expected. Like, Shavers plays all the time. Run blocking, like, you're probably going to hear a lot about that. Keon Coleman wants to put himself in any kind of good graces. He could go block his ass off on Saturday because the Shavers does a lot of the dirty work. So did Gabe Davis. That was part of the book on him when he was here the first time. Was they loved him so much because he was, you know, kind of egoless for a receiver and willing to do whatever it takes and all that kind of stuff. And I just, man, they got three guys on the roster right now. I mean, I'm sure they'll address it quickly. Hardman, Samuel, whatever.
Samuel's back.
He's got to be. If he's healthy enough to start practicing, I don't want to speak too soon, though. They'll have an actual practice tomorrow. It's like every week for 2 months, somebody's gone down on Wednesday that started the day whole and then, limited. Someone stepped on him or whatever happens, turn an ankle. But, yeah, I mean, Samuel, I think, yeah, I just said it. The pressure to get on the field is going to be immense. Just returning from whatever the injury was. So, I mean, that's an experienced guy that was good for them in the playoffs last year. But, I mean, he hasn't played in more than a month. Maybe longer.
Did make a play against Denver last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But Shavers, Sean McDermott said today, tore an ACL in the first half on Sunday and was on the field for like the rest of the game.
Right. He went to the locker room early, I think, before halftime. So I remember seeing him walking with a trainer up the tunnel at some point. But he came back and finished the game with a torn ACL. Man.
I know. It's just like a continuing troll job by the fates, by the gods.
I was joking around Sunday night with a friend of mine after we found out about Gabe Davis. Like, I wonder how long it takes for someone to call the station. I didn't necessarily think it had to be our show to ask about like Odell Beckham Jr. or something.
You see Joe's idea?
No, I have not.
Are you sitting down?
Was it that?
Amari Cooper.
Okay, right.
I don't know. Quote, knows the offense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Well,
wow.
Can they win this game this way? You can't really assume no, because that's been the theme of the season, is they don't have enough talent at wide receiver, and these things are relative. I mean, it wasn't that they signed players or traded for players. They didn't get Waddle. You know, they didn't do such that they had, quote, fixed the problem, so they're up here. They never got up here. They're just down here, and now they've lost a couple of guys. I mean, Shavers, respect for big body and special teams and blocking, and kind of Davis is the same, not special teams so much, but the same kind of role and body type and everything for what they want.
Well,
that's always been what they want. Somebody at that position to provide them is like that kind of size. And these guys don't do that. Curtis Samuel doesn't come in and provide you a blocking element against edge rushers or whoever,
right.
Blitzing linebackers.
That's why I mentioned Coleman. Like, he's the big body.
Coleman is it.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, you're not asking Shakir to do that. Maybe chip an edge guy on the way out in a pattern or something. I saw some highlights of Davis doing that, but again, bigger body. The best you can do is if the guys they had weren't all that great or all that good anyway, then they should be pretty replaceable.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the best you can do, but even then, it's like, you know, is Hardman? I just don't know. It's so bad.
Well, it's interesting to think about, like, what does it mean for Denver, or to Denver, I should say. What does it mean to Denver? Your point about Sertan going back a year, what do you do with Sertan against a team like this? Do you just, like, not worry about who the number one is? I heard Joe this morning talking about how important Cooks is, because Cooks gets down the field, and maybe for Denver, Sertan is Cooks, or Cooks is Sertan's
maybe.
Like, job one. But, you know, what Coleman, to be optimistic, what Coleman can do, contested catches, you know, big body again, like somebody who maybe if he runs the right routes and doesn't screw up in some other way, like he could be somebody that, it's not impossible that you get a game from him.
No.
And Kincaid is also like sort of ready for the next bigger game. It gets tiring to sort of lay out the case for Kincaid. Even Sunday, like you got a touchdown from him. There were three catches from him. Maybe the first pass that went to him was like the story. One story from this game was how Allen couldn't miss. And he missed when It was third down on their first drive, and it was like a mile away from Kincaid. It reminded me of last year. And now we talked about, why is this guy's, you know, whatever it is,
his catch rate, 50%.
Why is it so low with Allen versus everybody else? And the first pass, I think it was the first pass he got against Jacksonville, was like just, he's falling to the ground way far away from where the ball is. The whole rest of the game was not like that at all.
Right.
But, you know, you take what you can get, and maybe it's, we're back to wish casting for Coleman and Kincaid, I guess, and 3 for 70 from Brandon Cooks and 10 for 70 from Shakir. I guess that's what we should hope for.
I think if I'm Denver, I think I do. The guys you have that are healthy, whatever kind of pitch count they've been on or whatever rotation they were using that's been driving everybody crazy, like, that's got to be over. Like Cooks, Coleman, and Shakir, I would think, have got to play, even if Samuel is healthy and Hardman gets on the active roster, which is what I predict happens. Those are going to be your five receivers, I would bet, sitting here today, barring some name that's out there in the wind that I, you know, Amari Cooper, for example. Those are your five. Those top three have got to play like 80% of the set. Like, they just have to. I'm not going to have a timeshare with Mecole Hardman at this point. Like, those guys have to play. And if that's the case, then yeah, I think Sertan. I think if I'm Denver, I'm just going to, okay, who's the most dangerous? Okay, Cooks is probably the answer to that. Yeah, I guess you could say Shakir. Like, he might get more volume. Almost definitely will get more volume than Cooks. But who's going to really hurt you? I think my answer might be Cooks, which is crazy because that was like Thanksgiving week he got here, and now I'm at, well, they're just going to put Patrick Sertan on Brandon Cooks. Like, me from Halloween would like a word. What? Who? What are we talking about?
You were not here during the holidays, the day I relived my own personal podcast nightmare by inviting Dave Tripoli on the show. Philadelphia, the week of the Eagles game, and, you know, reliving the time when I was on his podcast at FFPC, asking me, all right, Shope, you're the big expert on Buffalo. This is 2 years ago. Who's the wide receiver we should draft in fantasy? I'm like, Claypool. Just like, MVS. There was nobody you should have drafted in fantasy. And I wasn't wrong. But still.
Right, that name didn't even make it out of the summer.
It's 2 years later, and one reason why I dragged Dave onto this show that week was to defend myself. Like, listen, did I really blow it? I mean, just there was nobody. Shakir is the closest thing. You don't want to start Khalil Shakir in fantasy football. Like, there was no right answer, and it's amazing that they're going to this game, and now the injuries are weighing in. And they just do not have it. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio at 4. The latest on the Bills injuries with Sal. Ross Tucker has moved to 5 today. Paul Hamilton at 6. Paul has an article up at our website, WGR550.com. Mark Bergevin profiled. Another addition to the Sabres front office. The Sabres have home games tomorrow night and Thursday night, after losing at home last night to Florida. We'll be right back. This is WGR.